Morning, we were talking about what God required, and we ended with the verse that said, God requireth that which is past. And my thoughts this morning concluded with God requiring, and what he wants from us is that fellowship like he had with Adam and Eve. And we all will have the question, I'm sure, in our mind and all, well, how do we get that? how do we get to the place we have that level of fellowship where God is comfortable to be in our presence, and we're comfortable with him being in our presence. We've all had those that maybe come to see us, and because of who they were or what they represented, they made us a little bit nervous about them being there. Might be a relative. It might be someone that is a representative of the law enforcement. Some of y'all probably know what I'm talking about, but I got a survey in the mail, USDA survey. Anybody else ever got that? It's a survey from United States Department of Agriculture. And they want to know, they have lots of questions, and it's tedious. And I don't like taking surveys just for the sake of taking a survey. And the first one I throwed in the trash. And last year, the second one I throwed in the trash. And then they called me, and they wanted to talk to me, and they wouldn't tell me their full name. They knew my full name and my address, and so I said, what's your name, and where do you live? And they wouldn't give me that, and I said, well, I don't think I want to talk to you. So I was being kind of difficult. So I noticed that the second survey that I got today said it was required by law. And it gives some kind of statutes and quotes this law. So, and it said to avoid a phone call or a visit that I needed to complete this survey. So I worked a little while this afternoon on this survey. I don't like doing it. But I'd rather do the survey than have a visit. And I don't really like being put in that place. And I'm sure you don't like those places either. But God's not sending out surveys. He wants to have a relationship with us like he had in the beginning with Adam and Eve. And he doesn't want to send a survey out to find out how many times we've prayed and how many Bible verses we have memorized and all of that. He just wants to have a relationship where we're comfortable with one another and we're open and inviting for him to be in our presence. And we want him to be there, and we want his input in our life. So, just as there's prerequisites for us to be able to take physics in high school or any other class that is not eligible for freshmen to take, there's prerequisites for us to be able to have that kind of relationship with the Lord. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, Lord, this could get pretty complicated, And I don't want it to be complicated. I want it to be something we can get a hold of, something that we can really be able to work with in our minds and in our everyday lives. So I had to think of a passage of Scripture over here in Micah, Old Testament, Micah chapter 6 is where we're going to read, and we're going to begin in the first verse. So it's Micah chapter 6. Beginning verse 1, it says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Have I sent you some surveys that you didn't want to fill out? Have I caused you to feel like you were intimidated by my presence? What is it that's caused you to not really want to have a relationship with me?" He says, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and that Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord." You remember how someone tried to entrap you, and you remember that story and how Balaam listened to the invitation from Balak, the king of Moab, and he, remember that journey he started on, and his donkey talked to him, and he got down there and he could never say anything bad about the Israelites. He says, all of those things happened. I was protecting you from being cursed, and I delivered you out of Egypt. And remember, the preacher said he wanted things like it was in the beginning. He wants a relationship with you. He says in verse 6, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Do I bring him something that'll impress him? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" What kind of requirements does it take? What do I have to meet before I can have that relationship with the Lord? When I did go to high school, my first day, and maybe it was the first, during the first week, they had a day that was kind of initiation. And some of the upperclassmen imposed requirements on the freshmen, and they had to do silly things like sometimes it was carry the books of the upperclassmen, you know, those in 10th, 11th, 12th grade to their classes before they could go to their own class. And sometimes it was a lot worse than that. But anyway, there was kind of a initiation into high school. Has the Lord been unreasonable? Has he required something that was belittling to us? And do we have to do some kind of special sacrifice and all of that, something that was completely out of his character? What's the answer to that? No. You don't need to offer your firstborn child to the Lord as a sacrifice. In fact, he told them not to do that. You don't need to have all kinds of wealth to be able to get into his circle and have a relationship with the Lord. That's not required either. But there is some requirements. He says in verse 8, "He has shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Three things, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." So I'd like to begin with one of those tonight. I'd like to talk to us about the requirement to do justly. What does it mean to do justly? So we know what the word just means, I believe. Just means fair, equitable, not unreasonable. If somebody was broke down and they needed some gasoline to get their car to start and be able to go on their journey, and we had maybe a can, maybe 5 gallons of gasoline in the can, and it would be just to maybe sell them the gas for the current price of the gasoline, something you could go refill your can. You know, if it's, I don't know, what is it, about $3 a gallon now, and you had a 5 gallon can, and they said, "Can I buy that off of you?" And you say, "Well, yeah, I would sell it to you for $50. Please understand, I'm just trying to make an illustration here. Immediately we would ask, "Well, is that just? Is that fair? It's not like I have to have it right now. I just had it for my lawnmower or my tractor or something like that." Or if we said, "Well, I've got 5 gallons of gas. What would you give me for it?" And he said, "Well," if the man said, "Well, I'd give you $20 for it. I hate to ask you to sell it to me, but you're going to have to go out of the way to fill it up again and bring it home. I'd give you $20. And we think, "Well, that's $4 a gallon instead of $3 a gallon. And, you know, I'm not trying to say right or wrong here, but it's a whole lot more reasonable, a whole lot more just than $50 for 5 gallons, right? I'm just trying for us to think about this. So we know what just is. We know what fair is. I'd like for us to look in James, the 5th chapter. We'll get maybe a little closer to home. We're thinking about doing justly. James chapter 5. And verse 12, primarily, he says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." This is doing justly. I know that it's somewhat archaic to just do business by word of mouth. But the scripture says, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." We should be a man or a woman of our word. If we give our word that we would do something, we ought to follow through. And if we can't, if something happens and we can't follow through, then we ought to reach out to that person and let them know. I don't know. There's lots of reasons that people can't fulfill something. If we tell someone that we'll be there to help or there to finish a job or something. There's a lot of reasons that can, a lot of things that can happen to keep us from physically being there. We can be sick. The bridge can wash out. Maybe not so much anymore, but there used to be a time that that was very real. Many times in the past, and I hope we still say it, we say, Lord willing, I'll be there. Lord willing. Because sometimes things happen, and it seems like it's not the Lord's will. I'm not trying to blame high water and a bridge washing out on God. It's just that things happen. Maybe we had an unexpected emergency. Maybe the electricity went off, or I don't know. Your cows got out, or something. There, but we have to be a man of our word means that we will reach out and make the necessary adjustments. It's not that we avoid something entirely, but we may have to reschedule something. So to do justly means to be a person of our word. If we say we can't because of a conviction of our heart, let's be careful about saying that. But if we do, then let's make sure that we don't waffle on something that would jeopardize our integrity with the Lord. A man of our word, a woman of our word. That's doing justly. Remember, we're talking about the requirements to have that fellowship with the Lord. And Micah said, he shewed thee what they have to do, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Let's turn to Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. So go to Proverbs chapter 20. We're still talking about doing justly. Beginning in verse 10, it says, divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike, abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Let's stop there for a moment. Divers weights, divers measures. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about weights that have the same label, but actually weigh different. I'm figuratively speaking, you could have a weight of honesty for the preacher, a weight of honesty for God, and a weight of honesty for the neighbor down the street, and they all be a different measurement. Don't do that. Does that make sense? You know, it'd be one thing to have, if I had the same physical size, let's look at this different. Years ago, and some of the most accurate scales still do it this way, instead of weighing against a constant spring pressure or something, it was a balance. One side you put the product you wanted to buy, and on the other side you put a calibrated weight. And you kept adding product until they balanced or they was equal. I remember going to the grocery store when I was a real young child and my mother would go in and she would buy a pound of bologna, or that's what I remember buying. And they would slide the little weight over to 1 pound, and they would slice bologna off and put slices on until it equaled 1 pound, until it balanced out. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you that's older remember seeing those. And then they would write on the package, you know, if it was 1 pound and 2 ounces or whatever it was. And that's how we paid, you know, a grease pencil and a piece of white paper on the wrapping, the packing paper. That's how we paid for our bologna back then. And but if you had a scale that was out of calibration, that'd be a diver's weight. And if you were putting your weights in one side and measuring your bologna on the other side, if you had this cup, it happens to be full of water, but if this cup was empty, you all couldn't tell the difference from there. And if I put it up here on the balance, and on the other side I was weighing out your bologna, if it was empty, you wouldn't get as much bologna, would you? If it was half full, you'd get a little bit more, but if it was full, you would get the most bologna. All right? So that's divers' weights. And the scripture says, divers' weights and divers' measures, both of them are alike, abomination to the Lord. You know that there is a standard weight and measurement for the imperial system that we use in the United States, the gallons, the quarts, the pounds, and all of that, locked up somewheres, that we can verify the calibration of scales, of volume. And you know, all of the places that sell gasoline, they have someone that, there's a sticker on that gas pump that says that it's been calibrated. And I don't know how often they come by, maybe once in 6 months, or I don't know what the deal is, but there's somebody comes by with a calibrated container, and they turn on that gas pump, and they fill that container to a specific line, might be 5 gallons, and they see what the pump says. And if the pump is off, it has to be adjusted to be calibrated, because no one wants to go up. Or I've done this one time. We were traveling, and my wife and I stopped to buy fuel for the vehicle, and it just so happened that I knew that my tank, it had 2 tanks on my pickup that I was driving, and they were both 20-gallon tanks, and I'd run one of them down pretty close to empty, but it hadn't died, so I'd switched over to the other tank, and when I pulled into the filling station and I filled that tank up, I put 25 gallons in it. And I went over and I filled my other tank up. So I went in to pay for my fuel, and I told the people, I said, you really need to check the calibration of your pump. I said, I just put 25 gallons in a 20-gallon tank. And they took my money and assured me that their pump was in calibration. But I knew it wasn't. You can't put 25 gallons in a 20-gallon tank. The scripture said, divers weights and divers measures. Something that's not calibrated is an abomination. What did God say? You want to have that fellowship with me? Here's what God requires out of us: to do justly. To do justly. Divers weights, divers measures, that's not justly. And let's read a little more. He says in verse 13, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Verse 14, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Have you ever bought something and felt like you got a bargain? I have. I've been happy about that. Have you been happy about that? Is there anything wrong with making a profit? There's nothing wrong with making a profit. I'll tell you that if I go to an auction sale and they had a whole box full of East Wing hammers that were in respectable condition, and they maybe there's six hammers in a box, and if they sold the box at to the highest bid and I bid $5 and bought the whole box, I'd think I got a bargain, because they're probably $20 at least a piece, maybe 30 or 40 depending on which one it is. And if I decided to put them on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or Tradio or whatever and sell them for $15 a piece, and my six hammers turned into $90 that I paid $5 for, I don't have to feel like I did anything wrong. It was done justly, okay? But if I walked up to somebody that had some East Wing hammers and he wanted $15 a piece, and I told him that he was way too high, he's completely unreasonable, and told him I'd give him $15 for five of them, but not for $15 a piece. And I just bothered him and bothered him and bothered him and told him how unreasonable he was for asking how that much money for that those hammers. Made him feel like he was the worst excuse for a human being that there ever was, and then go away and say, I've really found somebody that I could talk down, and I got him down to $3 a piece, and now I'm going to turn around and sell him for $15 a piece and make some money. You feel like that wins any points with the Lord? That's not doing justly. There's nothing wrong with offering somebody a lower price. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm going to have to pass. It's not worth $15 a piece to me. If I'm going to use an East Wing hammer, it's worth $15. If it's one I don't have and I'd like to have one like that, I'll give you $15 for it, more than likely. But if I'm just looking to buy, Brother David's bought lots of lawnmowers, and I would venture to say that you went up to some place and they've said, I want whatever their price is, and you've looked at it and said, I'm sorry, I just won't give that much for it. You still own it. I'm going to go. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody it's not worth that much to me. But what I'm talking about here is, let's do it justly. Let's be respectful to the other people. It's their merchandise. He said, the verse 14 says, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he's gone his way, then he boasteth. It's one thing to tell the seller, it's not worth that to me. I've done that. I've had to say, I wanted to buy some land here 2 or 3 years ago, and the guy told me he wanted to sell it to me. So he said, well, come over and we'll talk about it. He came over and we sat down at my kitchen table, and he told me how he'd wanted to market off and what he wanted to sell to me. And I was agreeable to everything he said. I was willing to buy the land just the way he described. And he said, now, a lot of times when you buy more land, the price goes down. He wanted to sell me 40 acres. And I said, well, I'd like to buy 40 acres from you. But it got right down to it, and he said, well, this is my price. And he told me how much he wanted per acre. And I said, well, if it had been something that I felt like was a price I could afford, I was prepared to say, yes, I'll buy it. Let's draw up the papers. But when he told me the price, it was like, I don't know if I want to give that or not. So I said, I'll let you know. And the next day, we talked about it. We prayed about it a little bit. And I told Anita, I said, I just don't feel right in giving that much money for that land. So I called him up. I told him, I said, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. And I said, I would give you that much for a smaller, that much per acre, for a smaller part of that land, but I just can't give that much for 40 acres. I feel like it's more than I want to spend. That's what I said right now. And he said, okay. He said, time's in my favor. Probably is, but I still didn't feel like I could give that money. So I didn't buy the land. He still owns it. And I didn't try to haggle with him. I didn't try to make him feel bad. I just told him, I can't pay that. I'd be willing to pay less than that and buy 40 acres, but I don't want to buy that. I want to be just. The scripture said, here's what the Lord requires. Do justly. Do justly. I want to be just in my business. I don't want to be a buyer that says, it is not, and then go my way and brag about how good a bargain I got. I want to be careful with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with profit. And if you bought land, I've bought land in the past, lived there, owned it for maybe several years, and then when time came for me to sell it, sold it for more money than I paid for it. And it was all just. It was all fair market value. I'd like to go now to James, the second chapter, and notice what the writer here says. In James chapter 2. And I'd like to look at verse 14. He said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Do justly. I know this is an area that we need a lot of wisdom in assessing real need. And our own ability to help offset that need. There's times that there's needs that we can't help with. Somebody come to me and ask me for something I can't provide, then I just can't provide it. Somebody come and have an expectations out of me. I remember a situation one time, the man was going to die, and he did die. And his brother said to me, you can save him, can't you? And I said, no, I can't. I can pray with somebody, and I can instruct them how to pray and how to confess their sins and ask God to forgive them, but I can't save them. That's between them and God. I can't give you that assurance. I couldn't deliver what that other person's expectation was. Somebody says, can you make me happy? That'd be pretty easy to answer. I probably can't make you happy. You know, there's things that I can do, but I probably can't make you happy. I'd like to couple this verse with one in 1 Timothy 5 and 8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, And especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. When we extend help because someone else is in need, what did we just do? We took that away from our own house. And the scripture holds me accountable for my own house. The time, the money, the resources, maybe it's emotional energy. I've found in life that this is a hard balance to find sometimes. We want to have the presence of the Lord. I want to have that relationship. Micah said, the Lord showed you what he requires to do justly. That's what we're talking about tonight. To do justly. If there's a need and I refuse to help just because I don't want to help, that's not just. If there's a need and I can't deliver, that's a different story. If there's a need and maybe I could, but I'd put my own family in a situation that would compromise my ability to support them, you're going to have them on board. Don't come home and announce that you're going to move your family out so somebody else can have shelter. If they're not in agreement with that, you're going to not be doing justly then. You know, if there's a homeless family and you want to give them shelter, talk it over before you move your own family out and move them in. Lord, help us to know how to do justly in this situation, because there's people out there. And it's hard to know sometimes. I've been in those places a lot of times. Somebody says, I need help. I remember a time, been a number of years ago now, that someone came into the parking lot there at Four Corners where we were going to service at the time. Anita and I was a young couple. Can't remember if we had children or not. They come in, and when they turned in the parking lot, the door flew open on the vehicle, and some little boy about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, went rolling out of the door out in the park. He rolled 2 or 3 times out in the parking lot, and they slammed on brakes and, of course, got our attention. And we run over there, and the little boy seemed to be okay, and I don't know. To this day, I wonder, was it a trick? Had they practiced this to the point that he knew how to roll out and not get hurt? I don't know. But he got our attention and he said, we don't have hardly anything to eat at home. Got a wife and this little boy and 2 or 3 others, children at home. Could y'all help us with some groceries? And what do you think we did? Well, we want to help them. So he said, rather than just giving you money, we'll take you to the grocery store. It's on the way to your house. And Anita and I went shopping with them, bought them a grocery cart full of groceries and said, we'd like to go home with you and meet your family. So we went home with them and helped them unload the groceries and carried in. They bought potatoes and chicken they could fry and got there. And the wife said, well, I don't have anything to fry it in. And we said, what would you like? Crisco or I don't know whatever it was. And we went back to the store, get some Crisco. That may not have been the brand, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And while we're in there, they said, I wish we could have got to you before you spent all that money on that grocery. Said, those people wore out their welcome at all the other stores, or all the other churches, they're branching out. Said they'll buy food like that and come back and return the stuff they can return, like canned goods and stuff, and then rent video games or movies or something here at the grocery store. We felt like we'd been had. We done it as unto the Lord, and come to find out that us doing justly had been taken advantage of. So the point I'm bringing out here, we need to be careful. To do justly in this area sometimes takes more wisdom than we got. And we're going to be taken advantage of from time to time. I just want us to be aware of that. Yeah, when we do that and we feel like it's been somebody's taken advantage of us, we have to remember we did it as unto the Lord. That's how we're doing it. Because it's easy to get disappointed in people. I'd like to turn to John, the 18th chapter, St. John, chapter 18. Remember, we're talking tonight about what does it take to have that relationship with the Lord? And Micah 6 and 8 said, He showed thee what's required of thee. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. John chapter 18, beginning verse 33. Then Pilate answered unto the judge, entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Thou sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? So I'd like, sometimes I feel sorry for Pilate, but yet the Romans had established themselves in the world as being intellectual and being able to have wisdom. That's how they gained the control many times, whether it was military tactics or whatever. That's how they gained control of the world and built the empire that they had. Pilate said, how am I supposed to know? I'm not a Jew. I don't know what your customs are. I don't know what rules y'all have got made up here. But the chief priests, the ones that are your religious leaders, they're the ones that's delivered you to me. And Jesus answered, verse 36, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So that probably really caused Pilate to begin to scratch his head. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. The truth. I remember a message being preached at Monarch a number of years ago now. The title of it was, The Truth, the Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. And I would encourage you, if you've never heard that, to get on the Church of God Preaching website and download that and listen to it. The truth. We're talking about doing justly. We're talking about meeting the requirements to have that close relationship with the Lord. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them all, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate the man that was a leader, that was respected as someone having wisdom and governing abilities, he said, "What is truth? What is truth?" I'll say this. Is it the whole truth? And is it nothing but the truth? Or is it just some of the truth? You know, I can tell you the truth and tell you that I'm barely in my 50s. And you can interpret that however you want to. It's true. It's not the whole truth, though. The whole truth is that I'm going to be 58 this year. That's the whole truth. It's not that I'm just 50 and a half. You know, I'm 57 and a half. Yes, I'm barely in my 50s, but I'm just barely not in my 60s. You see, that's more of the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Pilate said, "What is the truth?" He was confused. Maybe he was just wanting something to wash his hands of it. I don't know. But I believe there was some level of sincerity when he said, "What is truth?" So I'll ask you tonight, as we go through life, we want to meet God's requirements, don't we? I want the Lord to want to be in my presence, and I want to want the Lord in my presence. I don't want to be fearful of Him looking over my shoulder. I don't want Him to feel uncomfortable when He's in my presence, and I don't want to feel uncomfortable when He's in my presence. I want there to be close fellowship, or that when He is in my presence, I feel like that I can just snuggle up close to Him. And I want all of us to have that. And Micah said, the requirements is to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. And tonight we're talking about doing justly. You know, doing justly is knowing what the truth is. Not just some of the truth, but the whole truth. The whole truth is, I need to finish that survey. I don't like it. I'll just tell you, I don't like it. And I think there's a certain level of it infringing on my privacy. I'm being very truthful with you. But I'm going to do it. And I'm going to fill it out as truthful as I know how. But it doesn't mean I like it. The whole truth. What is the truth? Proverbs 23 and 23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth. What are we investing in? Are we investing in truth? Are we investing in something that's just? Are we buying into something that's not the whole truth? There's many religious spirits out there today that's not the whole truth. There's some truth, but it's not the whole truth. And I want the whole truth. You know, we have people come to us in our line of work for pre-purchase inspections and post-purchase inspections. You know the wisest time to have an inspection? is before you buy it. There is nothing more disappointing than to somebody buy something, a truck, bring it to our place of business, and we do a post-purchase inspection and tell them, I'm sorry, it needs all the brakes replaced, it's got a loose tie rod, it needs some ball joints, and it's got an oil leak. And it's an extensive repair to fix the oil leak, sir. It's going to take $5,000 to fix this vehicle. That's not a very good feeling. I don't like telling people that, and people don't like to hear that. The wisest thing to do is invest in truth. Not invest in something that is not real solid when it comes to our souls. Buy the truth. And sell it not. Psalms 15, and we'll close. Psalms chapter 15. It starts out by saying, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, we could say he that doth justly, doeth justly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth. There's that word again, in his heart. Speaketh the truth in his heart. You know how important that is, to speak the truth in our heart? You know, there's people that can tell you something for the truth that's not the truth, and they can do it so well that we think it's the truth. You know that? And when we get away and find out that it wasn't the truth, we realize that they weren't doing justly. We want to do justly because I want the Lord's presence in my life. I want Him. When I come to the end of the way, I believe the enemy is going to fight tooth and toenail for our soul. And when I get to the judgment, I want the Lord Jesus to stand up and say, that's my child. I want Him to be able to do that. Because they've done justly. They love mercy. And they walk humbly with thy God. I don't want to speak anything less than truth in my heart. I want you all to make it. And I want to make it. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. We're talking about someone that's going to abide in the tabernacle and dwell in thy holy hill. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. We're talking about doing justly. You know, it was my neighbor that I was going to buy the land from. You know, about 8 years ago, he filed for bankruptcy and they were going to sell the land basically, and they were going to grant the sale at in front of a judge. You know, I had a contract to buy that land. I had a contract to buy 80 acres instead of 40 acres. You know, I went up to the judge and I thought my neighbor wasn't going to show and I was going to buy the land. But he showed up and he raised the price $100. And the judge looked at me and said, how much more would you give? And I could have raised it. But I thought, you know, that's my neighbor. He lives right next door to me. The last thing I want is to cost him a lot of money and him be angry with me. And I said, no, Your Honor, I don't want to raise the price. I want to do justly. I could have if he would have outbid me, if we'd went back and forth several times and he would have outbid me, you know, he would have been my enemy. It wouldn't have been just. It might have been right. It might have been okay in the eyes of the court, but it wouldn't have been just. So I had to say, no, Your Honor, I don't want to bid anymore. Did I want to bid deep down in my heart? Yeah, because I'd like to bought that land. And then he offered to sell it to me at a lot higher price, and I said, I just can't afford it. 6 or 7 years later, it's not what I'm willing to pay. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. We're talking about someone that is able to have a close relationship with the Lord, and whose eyes a vile person is condemned. He that honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. We're talking about doing justly. Micah said, the Lord's already showed you what's required to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. I'll just stop right there. Lord, help us to do justly. I want the presence of the Lord. I want to have Jesus say, that's my brother. That's my child. I was crucified for him. I want to hear the God say, well done, that good and faithful servant. It's going to be a fight. I'm going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged. Almost every day you're going to be challenged with something that's not in line with doing justly. I desire your prayers for myself. I want you to know I'm praying for each one of us. I want us to be strong and valiant for the truth. I don't want to have just part of the truth. I want to have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I want to do justly because I want to have the thing that God requires. And that's the thing that was in the beginning. I'll go back and read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15. And God requireth that which is past. God requires for us to be able to enter in and hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We need to have that relationship that he had with Adam and Eve before sin entered into the garden. God requires that which is past. I want to have it. You pray for me.